Good morning. Hi. Well, it's a beautiful day, and it's so lovely out there. Welcome to our 2015 annual meeting of stockholders. I'm Gerald Storch, the Non-Executive Chairman, and in accordance with the bylaws of our company, I will chair the meeting. First, I'd like to introduce each of our director nominees in attendance. Please stand as I read your names. Irwin S. Cohen, retired partner of Deloitte & Touche. Sam Duncan, Chief Executive Officer and President of SuperValu. Eric Johnson, President and Chief Executive Officer of Baldwin Richardson Foods Company. Matthew Pendo, Managing Director of Oaktree Capital. Matthew Rabel, Senior Advisor to Roark Capital Group. Francesca Ruiz de Lusuriaga, Independent Development Consultant and former Chief Operating Officer of Mattel Interactive. Wayne Sales, former Chairman, President, and Chief Executive Officer of SuperValu, and retired Vice Chairman of Canadian Tire Corporation. Frank Savage, Senior Advisor to Lazard. Myself, Gerald L. Storch, Chief Executive Officer of Hudson's Bay Company. Donald Chappell, Senior Vice President and Chief Financial Officer of The Williams Companies, and Phil Francis, retired Executive Chairman of PetSmart, were unfortunately not able to join us today. I would now like to introduce the others at the head table with me. Of course, I've already introduced Sam, our Chief Executive Officer and President. We also have Bruce Busanco, Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, and Carla Robertson, Executive Vice President, General Counsel, and Corporate Secretary. Ms. Robertson will now review with us the rules of the meeting.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. In accordance with the bylaws of the company, I will be the secretary of the meeting. In the interest of having an orderly and constructive meeting, I would like to quickly review the following rules of conduct which will apply during the meeting. A copy of this set of rules was provided to you along with the agenda that you received at the registration desk when you checked in. The meeting rules are as follows. Number one, the business of the meeting will follow the order shown on the agenda. Number two, only holders of record of common stock on May 26th, 2015, are entitled to vote at the meeting. You need not vote at this meeting if you have already voted by proxy. However, if you wish to revoke your proxy and vote in person, or if you have not voted, you will be given the opportunity to request a ballot and to vote before the polls are closed. Number three, only orderly proposals will be considered. Under the rules governing such proposals, a summary of which is set forth in the proxy statement, proposals must be submitted a certain period of time in advance of the meeting. Failure to have timely submitted a proposal will cause it to be out of order and will bar it from consideration. Such proposals may be submitted in advance of the next annual meeting in accordance with the applicable rules and company bylaws provisions. Number four, during the business portion of the meeting, if you wish to speak or ask a question related to any of the proposals, please raise your hand. After you are recognized, kindly stand, and once a microphone is brought to you, please give your name and address and state whether you are either an individual stockholder, proxy holder, or a representative of an organization holding shares. Please note that only one representative will be allowed to speak on behalf of a stockholder. Number five, if you would like to ask a question unrelated to the proposals, but that relates to the state of the company, presentation that will be presented later by Mr. Duncan, there will be time allotted for questions following Mr. Duncan's presentation. Please adhere to the same rules as I just outlined regarding the procedures for asking questions. Otherwise, any unrelated questions should be addressed to Steve Bloomquist, SuperValu's Vice President of Investor Relations. Steve can be reached via email at steve.bloomquist@supervalu.com or by phone at 952-828-4144. Rule number six, individual matters not of concern to all stockholders generally such as employee or retiree issues or product complaints, may be addressed to one of our representatives, and we will be happy to direct you to them after the meeting. Number seven, please permit each speaker to conclude his or her remarks without interruption. We will stop speakers when they're out of order. Number eight, the use of cameras, cell phones, sound recording equipment, communication devices, or other similar equipment is prohibited without the express written permission of the company. Number nine, no firearms, weapons, banners, signs, packages will be allowed in the meeting room. The company reserves the right to inspect all items, including handbags and briefcases. Number 10, the chairman, Mr. Storch, shall have the authority necessary to preside over the meeting and may make any and all determinations with respect to the conduct of the meeting and the procedures to be followed at the meeting. And number 11, upon a violation of these rules, we will give a warning. If the violation persists or if there is a second violation, it will be cause for expulsion from the meeting. Thank you very much. And now I would like to turn the meeting back over to our non-executive chairman, Mr. Storch.
Thank you, Carla. As Ms. Robertson has just discussed, along with the agenda that you were provided at the registration desk, were the rules of conduct for this annual meeting. To conduct an orderly meeting, we ask that you please abide by these rules. Thank you for your cooperation. Now we will move to the business portion of our meeting. Broadridge has been appointed to serve as Inspector of Election, and Carla Robertson has been appointed to serve as the alternate Inspector of Election. The Secretary of the meeting has delivered an affidavit of distribution establishing that notice of this meeting was duly given. The notice of the annual meeting was sent to all stockholders of record on June 9, 2015. All stockholders of record at the close of business on May 26, 2015, the record date, are entitled to vote at this annual meeting. As of the record date, there were 264,781,840 common shares of stock of the company outstanding and entitled to vote at this meeting. We've been informed by Broadridge that there are represented in person or by proxy 224,070,821 shares of common stock, or approximately 84.62% of all the shares entitled to vote at this meeting. Because holders of a majority of the shares entitled to vote at this meeting are present in person or by proxy, I declare this meeting to be duly convened for purposes of transacting such business as may properly come before it. A copy of our annual report for fiscal 2015 has been made available to each stockholder, together with a proxy statement. However, extra copies are available for you to pick up after the meeting. The polls are now open for voting. They will close after the matters in the proxy statement have been described and we call for a vote. If you voted by proxy, your votes have already been counted and you need not vote today unless you wish to change your vote. If you have not voted by proxy and would like to vote in person, ballots are available for you to do so. Please raise your hand and a ballot will be distributed to you. Great. Is there someone? Over there. Okay. All right. I would like to thank all of you who voted prior to the meeting. It is important to have your votes prior to the meeting because, of course, with so many shares, it simplifies the counting of the votes. We will now consider the items of business described in the proxy statement. If you have questions about the matter subject to a stockholder vote as described in the proxy statement, we ask that you hold them until after I have described all of those items. Okay. Proposal number one, nominees for election. First, the 11 nominees for directors for one-year terms expiring at the annual meeting in 2016 are Donald R. Chappell, Irwin S. Cohen, Sam Duncan, Philip L. Francis, Eric G. Johnson, Matthew M. Pendo, Matthew E. Rubel, Francesca Ruiz de Lazuriaga, Wayne C. Sales, Frank A. Savage, and myself, Gerald L. Storch. Proposal number two, ratification of KPMG. The second proposal is the ratification of the appointment of KPMG LLP as the company's independent registered public accounting firm. In connection with this proposal, I would like to introduce George Keel, who is the current KPMG Minneapolis office managing partner and the KPMG lead partner for the SuperValue account. Hi, George. Good morning. John Naughton, who is the audit partner and KPMG engagement quality control reviewing partner for the SuperValue account. And Kevin Slema, who is the audit senior manager and KPMG lead senior manager for the SuperValue account. KPMG was appointed auditor by the company for its fiscal year ending February 27, 2016. Ratification of that appointment is requested as described in the proxy statement. The representatives from KPMG will be available to answer questions during the question and answer session at the end of the meeting. The third proposal is management's proposal to hold an advisory vote on executive compensation, which is sometimes referred to as say on pay. If there are any questions regarding these proposals, please stand and wait to be recognized at this time. Okay, super. I will now call for the vote. If you're voted by ballot and we have not yet collected it, please raise your hand and your ballot will be picked up. You over here too. The votes, either by proxy or in person, will all be counted. Okay, do we have everyone? Great, thank you. The polls are now closed. And I'll pause for just a minute to add these paper ballots to the total that we have at this time. You folks will let me know when we're in good shape, okay? Okay, all right, thank you. The secretary of the meeting has informed me that the results have been tabulated. We've received the report of Broadridge, acting as inspector of the election, who has completed its review. Mr. Chappell, Mr. Cohen, Mr. Duncan, Mr. Francis, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Pendo, Mr. Rubel, Ms. Lazuriaga, Mr. Sales, Mr. Savage, and myself, Gerald Storch, have all been duly elected to the position of Director of SuperValue. Proposal number two, ratification of KPMG as the company's independent registered public accounting firm, has been approved by the stockholders. Proposal number three, which called for an advisory vote on executive compensation, say on pay, has been approved by the stockholders. If there's no additional business to come before the meeting at this time, we will now adjourn the business portion of the meeting. I would now like to invite Sam Duncan, our Chief Executive Officer and President, to give us a state of the company report. Sam?
Thank you. First, I have to recognize somebody here in the room, and Richard, stand up. Richard here has been a shareholder in our company since the age of 11, right? And you bought one share, right? And you still have that share today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, that is a great story, Richard. It was great talking to him, and I just want to say thank you for, you know, having faith in our company. So, 11 years old. How about that? Okay, what I thought I'd do is give you some present, past, and future, just some comments about the company. And quite surprisingly, I can't believe it's gone by this fast, but August 4th, it'll be 2.5 years for me, you know, being here with the company. Probably in the fastest 2.5 years I've ever spent in my life, but it's probably the most enjoyable in my entire working career. You know, being 63 years of age and working since the age of 15 and a half, because this is an incredible company that I'm damn proud of, and wanted to bring the the history back out in the organization, and I think we're working on that and doing a good job. When I came to the company, just to look at some of the priorities that I had and our management team had was that, you know, we needed to simplify the business. This company has always been known as a great wholesaler. That's what I wanted to build this company back to. When we got into the retail business, which, we weren't that, great at, didn't work out, but we needed to get back to just being a great wholesaler. Yes, we have part of our company to save a lot of hard discount. You know, it's a great part of our organization. We have our retail banners, our five retail banners that support our wholesale operation, but I wanted our company, just and all of our customers, to know that we are going to focus on being a great wholesaler. That's what we've done for so many years, and we're going to continue to be. You know, stabilizing the company was a big priority of mine, and getting it set for the future. We had to make some very tough decisions, and but they had to be made, and everything is performing well. New management team. I was very fortunate that I was able to start working on this project 6 months before I actually came aboard. So I got to build the org charts and call a lot of people that I worked with in the past that had faith in me to come join me. And this people that I worked with at Fred Meyer in Portland, Oregon, and also people that I worked with at Office Max in Chicago. And it's been great to have everybody together here, along with the people that were here. And we just have a great mix of individuals in the management team. Biggest thing I wanted to create here was a sense of driving cash and sales. That's the key to any organization. You've got to have sales, and what you got to do with the sales is generate cash. And I'll give some examples on one of the things that I'm most proud of is how Bruce and I have deleveraged the balance sheet in this organization. And I'll show you what that does for you. We made investments where we needed to be, and we made a big investment in Save a Lot last year, and margin investment that we needed to make, especially for our wholesale customers, and we did that. Cost structure we reduced, and the capital structure is what I talked about as far as the balance sheet, and that was a big focus of ours. And with that, we lowered a lot of the cost of our debt, and I'll give you some examples of that when I get going. Going forward, it's not going to change. We're still going to, this company is going to be focused on sales and cash. You know, that's how we survive. Reducing the debt, Bruce and I, our history is we don't like debt, and we work very hard on reducing that. When you look at our leverage today, we reduced it one full turn since we've been here. It was 4.5 times cash flow, now it's 3.5 times. And we continue to focus on that. I tell the whole world, I tell the investment world, why Bruce and I work so well together. I'm cheap and he's cheaper. And that's how we work. And we made an addition to our finance team with Susan Grafton. Now she says she is the cheapest, so she's really added on to our team. So thank you, Susan. Independent business, already said, you know, we're going to be a great wholesaler. I love working with our customers. We have some of the greatest customers in the world and very big ones. And it's been a blast for me to go out and visit with them. A few weeks ago, I was out with Janelle and a couple of them on the East Coast, McCaffrey's and Murphy's, and just some of the greatest operators in the world that just they have such passion. It's amazing. And we're going to continue to remodel stores and our retail banners. We're about 25% of the way through. We can't do them all in 1 year. We just don't have enough bodies to do that, and it wouldn't be appropriate to do that anyway as far as spending our shareholders' money. But we're going to remain focused on sales and cash. One of the – bringing back the history of the company, this building is part of it. Some of you may remember this. This is the corporate headquarters of old. It's 121 acres here. We own all of this property. It's an incredible piece of property. When we bought Albertsons and we moved to a bigger building about a mile and a half from here, it's 345,000 square feet. We were leasing it. We didn't need that footage anymore. The lease was up, I believe, this April of this year, and so it was a great time to get out of here. I come and saw this building, and I fell in love with it, and we own this property. Why in the world would we need to go somewhere else? It's beautiful here. We have at least 30 wild turkeys on this property, a lot of deer, and it is just a gorgeous, gorgeous piece of property, and as you can see here. Not so pretty in the wintertime, but we have great views there anyway. So What we did here was this, our logo wall, this is, you know, from, put, you know, 17 of our logos of our independent customers, and that's what I wanted to make sure our customers, when they walked into this building, that they knew that this company is focused on wholesale business. And we're going to dedicate the space to them to show them our appreciation. These things are removable. You know, we can put different ones up here. If we have somebody coming in for a visit, we got to make sure that their logo is up there and don't screw up. So it works out very well. And the people that did this building that helped us do it, Jessica London, who's on our real estate construction side, an amazing job. And also John Miller is the one that really handled all of the construction on this building. And we got to come in this building, really didn't spend a whole lot of money, not what you would think. And our people are very frugal and just done a great job. Also, this wall up here, it's set by, you know, vertically, it's by decade of the history of this organization, and this company has got some amazing history when you just sit and you take a look at it. And artifacts that we have here, you know, you'll mold ledgers. We actually have one of these has got an old a game in it, a card game or some sort that was in a desk of one of the CEOs of the past. Don't know who that was. That desk I have today in my office, it was from the 1950s. When I was traveling and visiting our Hopkins, D.C. here, I saw it sitting in one of the areas, and I loved it. It's an old Resolute desk, the drawer stick. It's beat up all the hell, but I love the thing, and it's in my office right now. If you ever come in, I'll gladly show it to you. But it's a blast, and we've got so much history in this organization that, you know, the little artifacts there are great to see, and hopefully you'll stop by to see them. And, again, this is the artifacts. There's a recording there of a training record from the 1960s that you can actually listen to part of it. It's quite a deal. Again, I wanted everybody to know when they come to this building, we are a wholesaler. That is our identity. That's what it's going to be. And this just identifies some of our customers. We have some, as I said, some great customers. When you look here in Minnesota, you know, Jerry's, Colburn's, you know, Wisconsin, we have Festival Food. The Scogans do an amazing job. Gordy's, Bruce and I were just there last week or the week before visiting that operation, tremendous operation. McCaffrey's, I mentioned, Murphy's on the East Coast, Redner's on the East Coast. Food Depot down in Georgia. This is an amazing operation here. This is two guys that started, I forget how many years ago, they took out second mortgages on their house to start with one store, and it is a very low-cost operator. And today, I forget how many stores they have, Janelle. It is a pretty good number. But these two guys are just good old country boys that are just an incredible an incredible atmosphere to just sit and talk to them. They're so appreciative of Super Value and what we do. 15, I'm going to review briefly. You know, it's this is all history. It's already been published. We did $17.8 billion, and in cash flow, $789 million. We did have a 53rd week last year. And on the EBITDA side, you know, that actually, if you back out the 53rd week, would be $772 million, which is flat with last year. The thing about that, you know, being flat with last year, you know, that's also with the investment we made in Save-A-Lot, where we invested, you know, quite a few millions in EBITDA for that. So I'm very pleased with how the year turned out, that we were able to make it flat with a prior year, even with that investment. So overall, a very good year for the company. Capital structure, again, this is what, when I came here, Bruce and I, one of the big things that was on my mind and priority was delever the balance sheet, and we have done a lot of great work with that. Bruce and his team, we have one of the best treasurers in the world, and Devin Hart. Devin, where are you? Are you here? Again, slide the envelope under the door with money in it for me, you know, saying all those good things about you. But what we've done is we repriced our term loan twice, our ABO once. We took out a lot of the 2016 notes. We spread them out. We took out the greatest majority of the $1 billion notes and spread them out to 2022 and 2023. All said and done, what does it mean to our bottom line? Well, it saved us $30 million in interest expense annually. And we're going to continue to work on those type of things, Bruce and I. As soon as we get through one cycle, we're going to start all over again to see what we can do to help reduce the interest expense more. We have just a great team on this. This is an issue when we when the deal was signed back in March of 2013, we had to go to the PBGC, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, and they had to bless the deal, and we had to make a large commitment to them of and to the pension over and above what we were required to do. We went back to them, and because of our great performance, they eliminated that that sheet, which again it saves us a lot of money. We're still going to make our contributions to the pension fund. That's not something we're going to stop. But just a lot of great stuff that we were able to do on our balance sheet. And this just shows the maturity. We are spread out where we really don't have anything the next 4 years for maturity. This is where we took out those 16 notes and we moved the greater majority over to 22 and 23, and we'll continue to look for those type of things. But the company is set up debt-wise very well, and what we're going to do is just continue to pay that down. And, Bruce and I, again, we don't like debt. So, I'll promise you we will stay focused on that. So what are we focusing on now? What are we doing this year? At Save-A-Lot, we're going to continue to do the things that we're doing. We've got a lot of great merchandising initiatives going on there, Hispanic merchandising, private label itemization, ad cycles. We've changed a lot there to do some things. When you look at Save-A-Lot, they had 5% positive comps last year. The investment we made, we did what we wanted to do there. We've got a great leader there, and Richie doing a great job, he and his team, and it's a great business to be in. That hard discount sector is a very good sector to be in today's world, somewhat like the dollar stores, I guess you could say. We're going to accelerate the growth and Save-A-Lot. Now that we've got the thing stabilized, our plan is to grow it in units by 7% this year, 100 stores, 60 corporate, and 40 licensee. We're going to... it's going to be more than that in the out years, and we've told the investment world we're going to take it up to 150 stores a year in the out years. Eventually, I'd like to see us get a lot more corporate stores. Today we're about 60% licensees, 40% corporate. I would like to get that to balance out, at some point. We can just open up corporate stores faster than we can licensees. We're going to go into some new market areas. Las Vegas is one of them. I used to work in Las Vegas as a store manager for Albertsons. Richie knows the market very well. Save-A-Lot, Vegas is a prime market for Save-A-Lot. And as I said, Richie and I know all of the places there. When I worked there, I even had a gaming license, believe it or not. When you're a store manager there, you have to go get a gaming license because you have slot machines in your store. In my store, we had 15 slot machines. And to get a gaming license, you've got to really go through the gauntlet. You've got to go in front of a judge, and a background check is done on you just like the FBI would do. It was an amazing process. But the income we used to get from slot machines paid our rent. That was back in the old days. What it is now, I don't know. But it was quite interesting getting a gaming license. So we're going to be in some new markets, and we're very excited about it. Independent business, we're going to keep doing a lot of stuff that we're doing, just remain focused on that. One of the things we did last year, the first time is an expo that we did, a selling expo in downtown in St. Paul. It was an amazing success, absolutely amazing. We surprised our customers just on how good it was, and it was unbelievable. I've seen a lot of stuff, and I would stack what we did up with anybody. We're going to have over 4,000 customers there this year. A lot of those are going to be actual owners, and the owners are some amazing, passionate people. And what I love about our wholesale customers is these owners basically have every penny they have invested into their business. That is it. I mean, that's their life. And some of the smartest, greatest people I've ever met in my life, and they are so down to earth. And so passionate, and they love what SuperValu is doing for them and how we're helping them in their growth process. They do a tremendous job in working in opening up stores against competitors. A lot of them, they love going against Walmart. Walmart doesn't scare them. And they do that with determination and just great employees and a great plan. We began supplying Hagen on the West Coast this year. It was a big deal for us. The Rainbow stores here in Minneapolis was awesome. It's just been great for us. We were able to acquire a lot of the Rainbow stores, and we did that as a purpose. You know, that was for our wholesale business. That was the main factor. Yeah, we're operating some of the Rainbow stores. They're doing very well, but we bought that as anticipation of selling some of those or some of our customers taking them, and they did, and we operated some, and it was a very, very good deal for us that we're very happy with. Retail food, we've got a lot of stuff going on there. As I said, we remodeled about 25% of the stores. We still got, some more that we got to do. We just opened up a new store in Hornbacher's in North Dakota. Actually, I think it's on the Minnesota side. Azul, is that the actual city? Is that it? Moorhead. Yeah, I don't know that area very well, so sorry. I was there. It turned out gorgeous. It is a beautiful store. Our people done an amazing job. Again, Jessica London on the decor, she just did an amazing job in that store. And we don't spend a boatload of money on these things. And we're very tight when it comes to what we'll spend on one of these stores. We got another Hornbacher's coming up. We got a new two Cub food stores coming up. Mike Steigers, our president of Cub, is just doing a terrific job there. Mike, you slide the envelope under the door, too, please. But he's doing a great job. We got a lot of great things going on. Allocation of some of the sections, like in baby, we were very under-skewed in baby, especially in the high profit items. Same thing in pet food. In pet food, a lot of you may have pets. As my wife and I, our little toy Yorkshire Terrier, 6 pounds, 6 ounces, runs our house. Our dog has two car seats, one for the Northwest and one for our home in Southern California. My wife paid $200 for each one of those, and I asked her why she spent that much. And she said, well, Miko needs to look out the window when he's riding in the car. I said, I don't know why in the hell I didn't think of that. So, but anyway, we spent a lot of money on our pets, and a lot of it is a very high profit stuff. Imagine $200 for that car seat. Think of what it costs. So, we're getting into that business. I will tell you, as I said, the two and a half years has flown by, but I have never been more proud of what we've accomplished as a team than any part of my career. It's just been a great to be with a great group of people, and in 2016 we're calling for modest growth in both in sales and EBITDA. We're going to continue to invest in business, and we're going to continue to focus on debt, Bruce and I. Hand down debt, we go to sleep every night thinking that, and we wake up every morning thinking that, but there's a lot of stuff in between. I thank you very much for coming. I thank you so much for having faith in our great company. It is a great company, and we're going to continue to work on making it even better than what it is. And I very much appreciate you taking pride in buying stock in our company. I'd love to answer any questions that anybody would have. Yes. We'll give you a mic there.
My name is Jim Haverstock, and I'm a stockholder. I read the annual report, and in the annual report, they said there's 38,500 employees, super value. And I went to my grocery store, and I asked them over on 7 and 101, my super value store, Cub store. They said they have 300 employees, and 40 of those employees operate the checkout counter and so forth. Well, when I looked at the total picture, it seems to me it would be smart for SuperValue to sell all its retail stores and concentrate on distribution and build distribution centers that supply gas stations and department stores and Cub stores and grocery stores and all kinds of retail stores that sell your discount products that are sold, that are distributed through your distribution system. And you'd have far less employees. You could do a nationwide distribution business over time. And it would seem to me it'd make a lot of sense. What do you think about that?
Here's all I'll answer that. You know, when I came to the company, I said we are not going to be a big retailer. The five retail banners that we have today support our wholesale operation. It helps us on our fixed expense. And hypothetically, if we did go out and sell them all, our costs would go up. Because you know, they're there to, as I said, to support our wholesale operation. We don't have a lot, and when you look at the whole of the company, you know, 200 stores, I like the banners that we have, and in my mind, I don't have any, you know, thoughts about, you know, doing anything with them at, you know, like you're talking about, because I love them, and again, it supports our wholesale. You know, I don't want to do anything that's going to damage our wholesale. I want to make it better, and I'm not sure that would do that. And we get asked that a lot. It's not the first time. You know, Bruce and I get asked that quite often, and about every time we go see one of our shareholders or analysts. But again, I'm very happy with where we're at right now, and I'm not sure that that would, you know, be the right thing to do. You have a question?
My name is Ed Oliver, and I'm a shareholder. I have a couple of questions. First one is, does this Super Value company here own all of the Cub stores, and are you expanding that or whatever? And secondly, you indicated that private label was increasing, which if you go to the store, that's very obvious. How do you participate in private label?
Well, first on the Cub stores, Mike here is here. The majority of our Cub stores, well, let me say our Cub operation is we have a lot of them where we own them 100%. We have some franchisees that own 100%. We have some where the franchisee owns them. We operate them. The one that I shop at all the time that I'm raising hell about, Lindale, is where I shop at. We have some where we're 25% owners, 50% owners, 75%. And I don't know the breakout. And, Mike, I don't know if you know the exact numbers, how many we actually own 100% or approximate or whatever. But 42 that we own outright. So it's, I don't know why the franchisee thing was set up years ago. It works great because all of those franchisees that I know of are customers of ours on the wholesale side, plus they have their own name stores that they run, you know, whether it be Kowalski's or whatever. But it's worked well in the past. I like it. We have some great ones. It's the issue. It's really not an issue. It's always, you know, kind of like what we have in Save-A-Lot. What you're always trying to figure out is how to get the, you know, like in Save-A-Lot, the licensees to do what we do in the corporate stores. And it's the same thing with franchisees. But Mike has built a great rapport with the franchisees. And what we've been talking to them, we want to be one Cub. And one Cub means that we all do the same thing. Franchisees and corporate-owned stores, and we've made good progress, I think, there, Mike. Private label, we have an incredible private label operation. This was started before I got here, but we brought on a new person that runs it that we used to work with, Mark Van Buskirk and myself and Steve Fox. That we are doing some great things in private label. Our penetration has gone up. We have items like our Culinary Circle frozen pizza. That's the number one pizza in the category. When I go out and visit customers, we, you know, last one, Janelle and I were out with McCaffrey's and Murphy's, Most of them tell us you can't give us private label new items fast enough. We'll take whatever you got. We had one customer, and I won't say who, that did not have any of our wild harvest items, and I don't know if you've had any of our wild harvest items. That's our organic and national brand. Fabulous items. They did not have any, I don't think. And David, our head guy of private label, went there and talked to them about the growth of organics and natural. And the owner was there, the original founder of that, and the son and the daughter, and they bought just about, the owner made the decision right then there to buy almost everything. And they changed all of their back-end displays to wild harvest. And we're going to continue to grow that. It's a fabulous line. We're coming out with wild harvest sesame snacks. Big item. I tried it. It's not one of my favorites, but it's really big to a lot of people. Coconut water. It's crazy how fast that stuff has taken off. We didn't even have it when I came aboard. David, when he came aboard, had it within 6 months. He knows all of the manufacturers and everything, and we're just selling like crazy. Not one of my favorites either, but especially the seaweed snacks. But they're selling like crazy, so I'm not the buyer, but we have a lot of people buying them out there. Other questions? I have a question over here.
Donovan Nash, I'm a stockholder. My question kind of relates to last Sunday's article in the Sunday paper about HV. I guess what is your impact or thoughts on what their words and statements they said last weekend were in regard to the Twin Cities?
Hy-Vee? You know, actually, I didn't even read the article. Of course, we're going to go, you know, toe-to-toe with them. You know, I don't let, you know, reading all that stuff bother me. You know, we run a great operation. You know, we'll take care of ourselves. You know, we have some plans. I'm not going to, you know, talk about those plans, but, you know, we're not going to allow somebody to come in and take our market share in a part of the country that we love and are very close to. We'll see. What really disturbs me about them coming in is that it's another non-union operator coming in. And here we are, union. Our wholesale customers, their stores, most of them, or all of them, are union. And but yet, you know, we all get penalized for that. And we're, you know, we've talked to the unions about that. You know, the Teamster contract that we just assigned this year. When I thought about that, I said, you know, we've got, you know, companies right here, big companies in Minneapolis that are headquartered here, that are non-union. I just want an equal playing field for everyone. That's all I want. You know, let's be one way or the other. And to allow competitors come in like that that are not playing the same ball game that we're playing, I don't think is right. But I'm never going to change that. But the only way that we can change it is to make sure they don't take our business. I'm very proud of our Cub brand, and we are hell-bent to make sure that they get the volume from somebody else. Other questions? Yes, sir.
Peter Robinson, a shareholder. Do you think we'll ever see a dividend again?
Good question. You know, some things that were, again, priorities for me, I knew when I came aboard that the dividends were stopped, pay raises were eliminated for employees, 401k match was eliminated. And some of my biggest goals was to make sure that we get the employees back to where they were. The employees should not be penalized for, you know, like that. We were able to do that. We, you know, raises back in. People are getting bonuses that didn't get them for many years because we performed. And that's what we've got to continue to do. One of my biggest goals was to put smiles back on the faces of the employees. They were beat up. I wanted them to have pride in this organization. I think we've done a good job of that. Dividends we talked about. It's something that, you know, the board and I and our people will have to talk about, but we have, it's on our radar. You know, hopefully one day we will, and, you know, we always got to take a look at timing, but that's a decision the board and we will make down the road. But, okay, other questions?
Thank you, Chairman Duncan. My name is Mike Telford. I'm from near Des Moines, Iowa, and I'm here on behalf of the nation's pig farmers and the National Pork Producers Council, which is a stockholder. I thought I'd give you an open venue to talk maybe about some of the suppliers, but first a comment. We just want to thank the staff, management, and board of directors of SuperValu for your continued efforts in supporting our family pork producers through your strong marketing efforts, which you do so very well. For many years, our organization has worked with SuperValu on pork product promotions, and we know our mutual promotion efforts have meant a great deal to the bottom line of SuperValu, and it means a lot to the nation's pig farmers, too. We specifically want to thank Mark Van Buskirk, Executive Vice President of Merchandising and Marketing, who you mentioned earlier, and Tom Sargent, Vice President of Meat and Seafood Merchandising. They are both doing a tremendous job, and we appreciate their continued communications, cooperation, and support. We want all the stockholders to know that the nation's pig farmers have made many improvements in animal care, responsible use of animal health products, and other production practices, and like SuperValu, they are committed to continuous improvement. We hope that SuperValu will always remain diligent in consideration of requirements on production practices and their impact on the supply chain and certainly family farmers. We certainly want to work with you, and we appreciate your efforts, and there is much information about our industry at porkcares.org. But more than anything else, I hope everyone will join me in thanking you and the others at SuperValu for doing a tremendous job. You really do deserve a round of applause.
Well, thank you for your kind words, and I will just tell you, you know, your business is incredibly important to us. We are partners together, and we're only successful if you're successful. And I thank you for the kind words you said about Mark and Tom. I've worked with those two great guys for a long time, and they're experts in the meat industry. I hope that the virus that hit the babies last year, I don't know how that's going, and hopefully we've seen an improvement on that so we can get the supply back. You know, I think that's under control, and that's not, you know, that's, you know, throughout the country from what I understand. It's not anyone's issue. It's kind of like, you know, we've got the avian flu going on right now. But, guys, all of you are incredibly important to us, and I thank you for having faith in our company, and we will continue to work with you. I will guarantee you that. Other questions? Okay. Again, I thank you so much for having confidence in our great company. We're going to continue to work hard for you. So thank you.
Thank you, Sam, and I'd like to thank everyone for coming. This now concludes the 2015 SuperValu Annual Meeting.